WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Wisconsin began early in-person voting today, and Tim Walz was there.
You play all the way through to that final whistle, and that's the exact energy that Kamala Harris and I are bringing to these final 14 days.
Donald Trump campaigned earlier today in Florida. Secretary of State Antony Blinken in Israel is pushing again for a Gaza ceasefire after the death of the Hamas leader.
I believe very much that the death of Sinwar does create an important opportunity to bring the hostages home.
Israel said today the Hezbollah official, expected to be that group's new leader, has also been killed. Looking for a new car? The auto industry says lots of Americans feel they can't afford a new vehicle. The average price, about $47,000. That's a jump of more than 20% from the pre-pandemic average. Even those who can afford have decided it's not worth the cost. The Dow finished 7 points lower. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
540 AM WAUK News is brought to you by the new Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 in Waukesha.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A new study finds 830 people in Wisconsin were killed by guns in 2022. That includes homicides and suicides. That's more people than died in car crashes. The numbers come from the Wisconsin Anti-Violence Effort Education Fund. More than three-fourths of people shot to death in Wisconsin were Black. Vice President Kamala Harris is making her case to conservatives in a Wisconsin city once known as a Republican stronghold. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
Brookfield's role in our battleground state could be a big deal. Of all the Waukesha County communities, it's one seeing a farther shift left, and it's likely one of the reasons Vice President Kamala Harris picked the place to campaign. Topics included abortion, Social Security, and national security. With the Vice President in Brookfield, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Just over 100 jobs are being lost with the halting of operations at a Hartford facility. Elcom LLC has announced plans to close the Triton plant in Hartford. The closure is scheduled for January. Triton Trailers has had operations in Hartford since 1975, making trailers for snowmobiles, ATVs, and boats. An over $100 million proposal to renovate and expand Milwaukee's Mitchell Park Domes is gaining traction. The project is proposed by the Friends of the Domes. It aims to address decades of a lack of maintenance and to add new educational facilities. If approved, the plan would require $30 million in county funding over 6 years. Today marks the start of early in-person voting in the state, with 10 voting centers spread across Milwaukee. There's more about the process at myvote.wi.gov. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Packers review Sunday's game. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Packers reviewed the game tape of Sunday's win over the Texans. Head coach Matt LaFleur says they should have scored more earlier than depend on a last-second field goal.
It was unfortunate that we had to be in that situation. I think a lot of times when you're just Rolodexing all the mistakes that you made or miss-ops to kind of put yourself in that position.
The Packers head to Jacksonville to play the Jaguars. The NBA season gets underway tonight in Boston. The defending champion Celtics host the Knicks. The Bucks are headed to Philly to play the 76ers tomorrow night. What's the vibe like in the Bucks locker room? Bobby Portis.
I've been talking about the vibe of our team. We have a hell of a vibe in our locker room, and it's fun to come. Hate to say work, but it is work, right? We get paid to do this, so it's been fun to come to work every day and compete with the guys, man. It's fun.
That's the Bucks' Bobby Portis. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low around 50. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, breezy and cooler, a high in the upper 50s. We're back into sunshine Thursday early, then clouds return late, a chance of showers. High-low 60s. Currently, it's 66.
in a hurry, pop in at Hop and Shop at 1505 East Racine Avenue inside the Phillips 66 gas station in Waukesha, where you'll find gas, coffee, soda, snacks, and even alcohol, and serving food from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Enjoy a breakfast burrito or biscuit sandwich. How about a delicious Hunt Brothers pizza or juicy Cooper's Express fried chicken? Chicken sandwich with pepper gravy, wings, tenders, fish, or shrimp with all your favorite sides. Stop in or order ahead at 262-933-4747. Hop and Shop in Waukesha.
The Todd Alba Show.
Minority Rule. The author is Ari Berman.
If you look back at Wisconsin history, it gave rise to Social Security and an unemployment insurance and collective bargaining. It really personified the idea that no matter what political party you were with, government should work for the common good. And Walker had a very different idea, that government should work for this conservative elite instead.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll be joined by Minnie Timuraju, president of the Reproductive Freedom for All organization. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. A new choice, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation, 540 WAUK. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for listening. You can be a part 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Got Jess on the board and super jazzed to introduce to you Maggie Dawn. Overtime with Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Network, 2 to 4 p.m. Maggie, welcome.
Good to be with you, Dom.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. Lots of legal questions I have for you today.
Your legal encyclopedia is here.
That's why I love talking to people smarter than me.
Partly.
Maggie, we've heard a lot of people concerned about Donald Trump getting into the White House and using the vast power of the presidency and the executive branch against his political enemies. And while it seems like some of the Republicans out there and some of the MAGAs will be, oh, you're just, you have Trump derangement syndrome. But I would also remind folks that this has already happened. As the AP reported from yesterday, the Supreme Court will not revive Michael Cohen's lawsuit against Trump claiming retaliatory imprisonment. Bear with me just a moment. They rejected appeal on Monday from Cohen, who wanted to hold his former boss liable for a jailing he said was retaliation for writing a tell-all memoir. What? Oh, no. They did not detail the reasoning in the brief, the routine order released just 2 weeks before Election Day. Cohen asked the high court to revive the lawsuit tossed out by lower courts. Those judges found the law doesn't generally allow people to seek damages over claims they were jailed for criticizing the president and that the situation had been dealt with when Cohen was released from custody. I mean, there's more to it, but wait, what? I haven't read it, and I know perhaps you don't need to really get into the details of the law on this, but it seems to me that simply releasing the guy from jail when he never should have been jailed in the first place isn't really a remedy.
Yeah, so this is, it has both wonk and then like perfect shock value. So it's a great topic. Here's the perfect wonk. The perfect wonk is the part where there was a long ago Supreme Court decision in the 70s called Bivens. And Bivens basically set forth the circumstances under which a citizen could sue a federal law enforcement agent. And they narrowed them. Okay, this is, if you want to view this in the long line of debate over qualified immunity, right, for government officials.
Sure, yep.
Right, this is part of that train of cases and debate. So I'll just say this. If you assume that some version of qualified immunity should exist at all, and I in general think it should, right? I have been sued in my official capacity a number of times, right?
Right.
So if you assume that some version of it should exist, then what you've got here is kind of a straightforward case, right? Because even the Biden administration opposed the Supreme Court taking this case up. So it transcended the politics of what actually happened to Mr. Cohen from this pure legalistic, is there such a thing as sovereign immunity and how does it apply and when does it apply kind of perspective. If you just set that aside for, like, let's have a discussion about what happened to Mr. Cohen. And remember, the other uphill battle part of this from a Wonk perspective that he had was the idea that, again, this case is really, and his claims were really just about him. And generally, the Supreme Court won't take a case that's just about an individual person. It has to have some
a greater
precedential
issue.
Value, yeah. Right? So he had both of those things going against him. Set all that aside.
Okay.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
Here's what was totally messed up about this. And you're like, I can't believe that guy doesn't have a case. It just strikes the conscience as wrong. He was criminally convicted related to the hush money payments to Stormy Daniels, right? And he pled guilty to 9 counts. He was going to serve a 3-year prison sentence. He was placed on furlough during the pandemic.
During COVID, lots of folks got out.
Lots of folks got out. And then he met with probation officials later this year, and they basically said, sign this NDA and don't talk to the media about this. And he said no. And tried to change the terms to take out the NDA portion of his probation agreement. And he was promptly sent right back to federal prison and dropped into solitary confinement for 16 days. There is no reason that Michael Cohen should have been transported back to federal prison for refusing to sign over his First Amendment rights.
On an NDA.
On what was in effect an NDA. And here you had federal officials asking him to sign that as a condition of his probation. Now, oftentimes not engaging with social media and saying things like,
certainly I can be
will
a thing.
Be yep. part of it. But this was much more broad than what would normally be very directly and inextricably intertwined with what your criminal convictions
you can't
were.
Write anything about Donald Trump or you're going
yes.
back to jail is essentially what it was.
Probation officials were asking him to do this.
It seems
and
out of line for the
punishment.
It seems
yes.
out a line for a federal probation official to specifically put in there, hey, you can't talk about
this
Trump.
This broad First Amendment, no, can't say anything bad about the guy in charge. And that's who was in charge then. And as a result of him declining that arrangement, not just sent back to federal prison, but put into solitary confinement. Now, if you look at direct evidence of the weaponization of the legal process or of the justice system and in the federal sense against an individual to settle personal political scores, it's not Jack Smith. It's Bill Barr and Donald Trump vis-a-vis Michael Cohen and the 16 days he spent in solitary confinement. That is an abomination that you can be, you end up under the long arm of the law. You did something wrong. But then they ask you to sign over some of your other civil rights. And when you refuse to do so, even though you should be out of prison anyways, you just end up in solitary confinement. If that does not sound like a good deal to you, my friends, you probably shouldn't be voting for Donald Trump come November 5th. Just saying.
Overtime with Maggie Dawn. Thank you, Maggie. So he did the time. He did the extra time. He did the crime. And certainly Donald Trump was just convicted of this crime himself.
He will be not getting sentenced till after the election, so it's fine.
Right, it'll be fine. I wonder if Donald Trump will have to keep his mouth shut as a term of his probation that he can't get on Twitter or he can't get on the social of the Truthy Socials because they don't want him talking bad about Kamala Harris. You know what I'm saying? Wouldn't that be comparable to Donald Trump being, after already being convicted, to being sentenced to literally strike down, you cannot talk about Kamala Harris?
So I've kind of gotten to a new analytical framework on all this stuff, Dom, and I no longer have any amount of surprise when Donald Trump is treated like the rich guy that he is by the federal courts. That is not surprising anymore. The Supreme Court gave him a gilded, get out of jail, engraved, golden, get out of jail free card for crying out loud. Of course he's treated differently. Of course most rich people are, and he's like one of the richest of the rich and one of the most famous. So he's been, the unequal treatment of the rich and powerful under our legal system is well documented, and he is the poster child for all of that.
What a rich white guy is going to catch a break in this country,
I mean,
Maggie.
For real, Dom, it must be so hard for you. I kid. But what concerns me more is the vagaries of how the law is applied to regular people, right? That you can direct the Justice Department, and Donald Trump did this.
He did this.
To go after numerous people. I mean, Peter Strozek was one of that. The indictment didn't even move forward. I mean, all this, the cases that Donald Trump directed Bill Barr to bring against his political enemies, not a single one of them stuck, and not a single one of them has ended up in a conviction. Zero. But, you know, fool me once, shame on me. This is what he will do. And regardless of what you think about the meaningfulness or appropriateness of the various federal and state prosecutions against Donald Trump, it is a much scarier prospect to think that regular citizens can be targeted by a sitting president for what amounts to political disagreement. That is the problem. Presidents, of course, it's a little different. I mean, I don't know why we're all like, yeah, it's a president, and no president ever actually dispatched the White House in modern history and the Oval Office and from the Resolute Desk to engage in arguable, you know, federal grand juries found probable cause that he committed crimes. Like, we haven't been faced with that decision. Bill Clinton, bad morals, right? Did some things, but not, you know, trying to extort a foreign ally for dirt on your enemies and stealing the super secret.
I just need
spy
you
documents.
To do me a favor, though. It was a perfect phone call. If you listen to Donald Trump,
11,000 votes.
The other phone call, 11,780 votes.
Perfect phone call.
Yes, all very perfect. Maggie Dawn does, and granted, we certainly understand Michael Cohen broke the law. I mean, he was a slimy dude when he was working for Donald Trump. I mean, that's kind of how that was kind of in the job description. Right.
Their names different by a letter only.
So he did what he did out of loyalty and out of money. Hell, he went to his own pocket to
cut the original check to Stormy
to do this.
That's a hell of a T&E to send in, isn't it? Dear boss, what should I call this?
Yeah, does it get? Is there any redress? Is it because he was under probation in the circumstances? He was doing a three, you know, he got 3 years. He did one.
This is it.
He's it. Nothing you can do. You're done. So long, sucker.
Yep.
So
thanks for your 16 days in solitary confinement.
You're very welcome.
Zero. Yeah.
Worth absolutely zero. But it is very telling, I think. And although it may be. I think it is terrible for a president through his attorney general to be able to put the hammer down on a guy like Michael Cohen, who was just doing what his boss asked, who served the time for the crime that Donald Trump has yet to be sentenced for. It's an example of him, Donald Trump, abusing his power in the most basic and simple way. And we don't have to think about, will there be violence again? Or will there be violence? I mean, the question is, will there be violence again? Because there already was violence,
right,
January
right.
6th. It wasn't a day of love, as he's most recently.
It's not
a thing. We don't have to ponder, will he use the power of the executive branch and the Department of Justice to go after his political enemies? And I'd have to say again. You mean again?
Yeah,
because that's already been done.
What? Is that a serious question? I'm getting an A on this quiz.
You absolutely are. I just think some other folks need to think about those kinds of issues when they step and go vote, because early voting starts today in the state of Wisconsin. Folks, get your voting plan together. Come back with us, 855-752-4842. Overtime with Maggie Dawn. There is one rich guy who's not getting away with it, Rudy Giuliani.
Oops.
Apparently, he's got to step up. Come back with us.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year.
But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. Overtime with Maggie Dawn. One more segment. I got to pick your brain about some of these legal issues. We do have a texter from the 262, Maggie, wondering who can take Trump's passport from him and if access to his private jet will be grounded. The texter thinks that he will leave the country when he loses, I like the win, and prior to his sentencing. Any thoughts, Maggie?
Yeah, that's the problem. The sentence that you can place, even before sentencing, you can place restrictions on travel. I actually don't know off the top of my head if the judge placed those kinds of restrictions on international travel for Donald Trump coming after his 34-count conviction. In the other cases, it would generally be up to the federal judges to decide what kind of pre-conviction restrictions, if any. But just like they can throw you in prison like P. Diddy or jail and keep you there pending trial, mm-hmm. you can have other restrictions placed on your travel while you are awaiting trial. He's had tons of exceptions to these general rules. It was every day in these cases. Most regular people charged with even sort of a fraction of the seriousness of the crimes that Donald Trump has either been convicted or is still facing criminal charges about surrender their passport, can't travel out of state, have to check it, like, that's not happening.
Does he got a PO right now? Does he have a PO? Is someone checking in on Trump, a probation officer, given the fact he will be sentenced apparently sometime towards the end of November?
Likely so, but do you think he's actually talking to the person?
Don't you have to? Don't you have
that
to
would
pick
be the
up
question,
the call?
Or do you think it's yet again another, you know, different rules for the rich white dudes running for president? I want to see somebody else try this. Like declaring a presidential candidacy and then attempting to like subvert and undermine various criminal prosecutions against them before they're convicted and sentenced. Like,
I don't think P. Diddy's
going to announce from Rikers Island that he's running for president in 2028, like prediction. Oh, I have to be campaigning. What do you mean? Like, you can't stop what I'm saying. I need out of this jail. Rikers is not a place to run a presidential
political
campaign from.
Persecution.
Correct.
I mean, P. Diddy might get away with it, but there is a big difference. He's rich. Donald Trump is rich. I think it's more the issue of being rich than it is about running for president. Any Tom, Dick, and Harry who qualifies constitutionally to run for the president can say, hey, I'm running for the presidency.
But that's the hook, right? Is that he's used this in various ways to get himself additional get out of jail free cards. I mean, the man has played the game of Monopoly, cheated. He's hit free parking about 100 times, right, which isn't in the rules. And he's pilfered from other game sets all of the get out of jail free cards. Donald Trump is the kid that cheats at Monopoly. It's literally his life story. My point about P. Diddy is the trumping up, pardon the pun, of a presidential run would provide the same sort of different arguments that Donald Trump has tried with varying different success to avoid pretrial incarceration, to avoid more onerous pretrial travel restrictions, you know, to get to go see Barron graduate, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's been an interesting use of a campaign to get out of jail.
P. Diddy's black, though. That would never work.
Well, there's that.
There is that. Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show. A little overtime with Maggie Dawn. We talked about one of the other rich white guys. He's going to be a little less rich when he gets done being doing the payout. Washington Post says Giuliani assets will transfer to Georgia election workers he defamed. Yeah! Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss, they won a $148 million claim against Rudy Giuliani. They go into some of the details, cash, jewelry, his New York apartment. Other assets will be put into receivership controlled by the two Georgia election workers.
Including, and this one, the irony is so perfect. Those other assets include receivables.
Yep.
Right? And Giuliani still has a bill outstanding to the Trump campaign for his Cracker Jack advisory work. And he's owed $2 million. That's now one of the assets. Like, Donald Trump has to pay Ruby Freeman and Shay Moss $2 million. Yes.
Good luck, though. $148 million. And apparently he's got lots of watches. There's like a...
Of course he has a watch signed, collection. That's a signed rich shirt white guy 101.
Baseball players. Oh, I mean, God. You're a big ball player, right?
Yeah.
What do you got? A signed shirt from Joe DiMaggio, a 1980 Mercedes once owned by actress Lauren Bacall. Right? Many, many watches, apparently. But the condo in Palm Beach, Florida, that's still up for grabs. $148 million, Maggie. At least it's something. They're not going to get $148 million. No. I highly doubt that out of this guy, but they are going to get something. How is it that this rich white guy, again, working for Donald Trump on behalf of Donald Trump, much like Michael Cohen, he faced the music. He got convicted. He's got to pay up. Michael Cohen, he got convicted. He had to pay up. He had to serve his time. How is it that the other one rich white guy continues to get away with it?
Well, again, he doesn't mobilize, you know, 75 million people to vote for him for president. And he's been, you know, Donald Trump has been able to just skirt around these things. Like, the slaloming isn't by a wide berth. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
It's like, exactly.
Flag goes down.
Hip touch in the snow kind of thing. And that's what's happened in those other civil penalties that he's had as well. He had to put up all that money as well. I'll just note this. I love the fact that the judge specified that he had to turn over his TV.
Yes, TV.
Giuliani's going to have furniture. No boob tube.
And some furniture.
No milk crate to sit on. No TV. Giuliani, I just put an old flat screen out on the front lawn. You're welcome to it, Rudy.
If you can pick it up, you can take it with you. Thank you, Maggie Dawn, folks. You can always check out the Maggie Dawn Show 2 to 4 p.m. here on the Civic Media Network, and also check it out on the super cool Civic Media app. Take us with you anytime. Put us in your pocket, me or Maggie. Maggie, thank you again. Have a great week. Look forward to it. You ready for the next 2 weeks?
Heck yeah, my friend. Gotta be.
All right, Luann Bird, a AD Wisconsin 61 candidate, coming up next.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. In-person early voting starts today in Wisconsin. 2 million people are expected to vote in the battleground state. Not only is there the race for president, but control of the U.S. House and Senate are on the line, and new maps could change the dynamic of the Wisconsin legislature. New research is debunking old notions about bullying. Child psychologist Shelley Heimel has looked closely into bullying. She says it does not make kids more resilient.
Kids who are victimized, you know, just sit there all day wondering what's going to happen to them next. I've had notes from kids saying how that's their life.
British researchers found people who were bullied as kids face a higher risk of unstable employment as adults and of premature death. October is Bullying Prevention Month. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. Early voting in Milwaukee kicked off today with 10 voting centers spread across the city. Locations include public libraries and community centers. Each location offers different hours to accommodate different schedules. In addition to in-person voting, people in the city of Milwaukee can use any of the 14 ballot drop boxes installed throughout the city. More information about voting is online at myvote.wi.gov. The Waukesha County Board is set to vote tonight on a controversial proposal. It's to introduce a 0.5% sales tax. Proponents argue the tax is necessary to address a $5 million budget deficit. Critics contend it could generate up to $60 million annually, far exceeding the county's needs. The outcome of the vote could have impacts beyond the Waukesha border. Racine County Board supervisors are also considering setting up a similar tax. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After months of speculation, it's been confirmed that Succession's Jeremy Strong has been cast in the Bruce Springsteen biopic, Deliver Me From Nowhere. Strong will play Springsteen's manager, John Landau. The Emmy-winning actor is fresh off his appearance in The Apprentice as Roy Cohn. Deliver Me focuses on the time in Springsteen's career where he made his award-winning album, Nebraska. The Bears' Jeremy Allen White has been cast as the boss. The album Nebraska was a bit of a departure as Springsteen's fame as a pop star was starting to skyrocket. The record is ranked 150 on Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Albums Ever list. Esquire has called Nebraska one of the most honest and emotional albums in history. Fun fact, Jeremy Strong revealed that it's also his favorite Springsteen album. Deliver Me From Nowhere has an anticipated release of sometime in 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy for tonight, a low around 50. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, breezy and cooler, a high in the upper 50s. We're back into sunshine Thursday early, then clouds return late, a chance of showers. High low 60s. Currently it's 66.
Sometimes as dads, I think we're too hard on ourselves. We get down on ourselves on not being able to, you know, we're the providers, but we also have to learn to take care of ourselves. Arapaho way, you got to pray for yourself as well as for everybody else, but never forget yourself. Self-love made me a better dad because I realized my worth.
Never stop being a dad. That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Christina Reynolds of Emily's List. Donald Trump had a quasi-town hall.
There were two questions, one on abortion and one on IVF. What he did was claim he just wanted the states to get to decide, and it is a lie. When they call it a national minimum standard, they are saying, we want the federal government to get to decide and not you.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez will be here to talk early voting, our number two public service announcement, and this shouldn't be a thing. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Oh, well, everybody's heard about the bird. The bird, bird, bird. The bird's a winner. Well, the bird, bird, bird. The bird is a winner.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. I want to thank our most recent guest, Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. But make sure you stick around 6 to 7 p.m. this evening. Civic Media is doing a voter special. Stay tuned after the show for a nonpartisan guide on how, where, and when to vote. Maggie Dawn and Dan Schaefer will co-host the special. Also, the cats from Busted Pencils, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny will also be around. That will start at 6 o'clock after this fine show. And right now, jazzed as hell to introduce to you Luann Bird. She is the Democrat running for Wisconsin's 61st Assembly District. 2 weeks out, Luann. Welcome. Do you have a voting plan, Luann?
Oh, I do. It's sitting upstairs on my table at the moment. Both of our ballots are filled out, and I just have to head over and drop them off.
Excellent. Yeah. Luann, the 61st, this is not your first time running, but this is the first time running in these maps. Everyone's got new maps, new game, Luann. You ran against the Republican Donovan. He's, again, your competitor this time. different maps. How are you feeling, Luann?
I'm feeling pretty good. I think people are ready for change. They want civility. They want a problem solver, not a whiner. And, you know, there's a big difference between Bob Donovan's approach to problem solving and mine. So I'm feeling pretty good. Not only that, after I ran last time and lost, I just kept working.
Yeah.
And, you know, knocked doors for Janet. You guys, we did some podcasts together on civility, hope, and action, and worked on some school board races. So it just rolled right into this race, which I feel like I have a lot of support out there.
Yeah.
And that's what it's going to take to win.
Staying involved in the community. Luann, but your history is quite unique. I want to take a few minutes to share that with our audience. I mean, it's not like you were, you know, born into a political party and this is something that you're born to do and been wanting to do your entire life. You've kind of stumbled into this because of some tragedy, actually, in your personal life with your husband in an accident. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it took me a while to find Mr. Right. And when I did, meet my soulmate, and we got married and we had two kids, and then he fell on a construction site. He was insulating a home and he broke his back and he severed his spinal cord. Oof. So we knew right from the start he would never walk again. So he was in the hospital, fell on July 18th. The ADA laws were signed on July 26th.
Wow.
So you can imagine what the world was like. When we got out of the hospital a couple months later, things were just not up to code. And the law is written in such a way that you have to complain to get things done sometimes. So what we did is, you know, we went to our kids' first outing, and we were upstairs on the playground. And everybody else was downstairs at the social, ice cream social, and we couldn't get there.
Yeah.
And it just felt wrong. I thought parents should be able to be involved in their kids' education. And so I called the secretary. I figured she could just fix that.
Right.
Not quite that easy.
No.
You know, I ended up, you know, joining the League of Women Voters and creating a committee, going to the superintendent, creating a committee, then going to the school board and eventually running for the school board. And it took about 10 years, but I made sure that parents and grandparents and children could get into every school by the time I was done. And,
wow,
you know, that's how I ended up figuring some things out about, yeah, I guess it was never partisan politics. It was just about taking action when you see a problem. So there were several other things too that came up, you know, like we had this sewer problem in our backyard and I offered to, septic problem, I offered to type up letters for this guy that was working to get us connected to the sewer. And I ended up on the Sanitary District Commission because I wanted to protect the environment. And we were able to get the sewer system installed in our neighborhood. You know, and I learned so much. I was so uneducated. I had no degree. I couldn't type. But I learned so much through that experience. And I still take care of my husband.
Wow. Still a caregiver. Yeah. Luann Bird, yeah. Democrat running for Wisconsin's 61st Assembly District, running again. I want to talk briefly about that. You know, folks, when I think about voting and I think about getting involved in government and engaging in this self-governance process, have high expectations. And you talked about the ADA law and the effort. It took like 10 years, you said, for this to fully come around. I mean, do you think people have an undue expectation of what government can do and what it takes to get things done, even when there is positive and good legislation that's passed that will help everybody?
No, I don't think as a rule people know how much power they have as individuals.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't give up, don't sit back. That's what my thing is. When I see a problem, you know, I can't sit back. So don't sit back. But I think a lot of people could learn that. I'll give you an example of that. Somebody introduced an anti-LGBTQ policy right here in Hales Corners. And we knew what was coming next, mm-hmm. you know, the book bans and the history challenges and all that. Yeah. So we went to a board meeting. We all stood in the hallway. We actually beat back that policy, but we knew what was coming if we didn't organize. And I said, you guys, we have to organize. They all came over to my house. We created the Whitnall Resident Engagement Network. And I taught them a few things like, okay, let's read the school board policy and see what these board members are doing. And then let's read the laws to see what the open meetings laws require. Mm-hmm. And then I taught them, you know, you can require those records. And that group just learned how to do that. So we were able to get two candidates elected in the following spring, just this past spring, that represented our values. We didn't have any money. This group just created the whole REN network. And we have our social media stuff and people are tuned in. And we're making sure they're informed about what's going on. So these outside groups like 1776ers, who heavily funded these other two candidates, didn't win because we made sure to tell them this is outside groups swooping in
right.
to try to take over. So that's the kind of thing. And now they're out there standing on street corners to pass a referendum in this school district because I think if more people learn that if you see a problem, get in there, show up, learn, don't sit back. Because if more of us did that, I think our society would be so much better.
Yeah, absolutely. Lou Anne Bird, Democratic candidate for Wisconsin's 61st Assembly District. I know you've been doing lots of door knocking. It's that time of year, Lou Anne, wanting to get elected. Probably never stops for you based on my understanding of your work ethic and what you've been doing in the community. What are you seeing as the primary issues that are driving people's motivation to vote this cycle?
Well, it's been an interesting journey starting out with Biden on the ticket yeah, and then right. having the debate happen and then, you know, super stressful at the doors and then and then Trump gets shot and then he drops out. I mean, this whole thing,
yeah.
voters are going through something I don't think they're used to. But first of all, it's really good news to talk about fair maps at the doors.
Yeah.
And at this time in the campaign, there's an awful lot of people that are still very sick of politics. And so I can, you know, just totally agree with that. And I say that's why I'm running, because I think it's all broken. It's not working for us. It's too divided. And I bring civility back. That's what I'm doing. And that's a choice I made getting into this race. So I'm hearing a lot of people still disgruntled with the process. With how Kamala got it. And they don't really like Trump. That's the good news. I have not run into too many that are really, you know, Trump lovers. Of course, I don't talk to far right Republicans. Right. Okay. I just talk to the people in the middle. And I'm so happy to tell you that that every day that I go out, I run into one or two that are just not sure how to vote at the top of the ticket. And when I get that, I'm like, okay, I have to establish trust first in
sure,
my race.
Yes.
And talk about what's important. Where do we connect? Do you care about women's rights? Do you care about gun safety? Do you care about public education and making sure there's a quality teacher in every classroom? And do you care about like putting somebody in medicine who will actually solve problems that are leading to these higher costs? You know, you establish that trust and then we can say, okay, now how are you feeling about the rest of the ticket? I pity the person walking down the street too, because that's the person I love to talk to, because maybe they're not on my list and they're probably Republican and I make some really cool friends that way.
It's amazing what can happen when you start talking to people civilly and having good conversations. But I think you make another really good point, Luann, and that's establishing the trust. One of my big issues has been, you know, character and credibility. And I think that's sorely lacking, certainly on the Republican side at the top of the ticket. And I think, unfortunately, that seems to bleed down to some of the down-ticket folks. Because if you enable that kind of behavior and you justify it and you support what I would consider, you know, poor character, I think it, you know, my parents used to say, you represent this family. What you do, it reflects on us. And I think it reflects on those. How is it, how can you engage in civil conversation with folks that perhaps would be likely to vote for a Republican, but traditionally been Republicans? Are you seeing that the folks you're talking to are receptive to some of the Republicans that have come over? Liz Cheney, of course, famously walking around with the vice president here in Wisconsin. Is that having an impact at all from your experience, Luann?
I think it is. I think they just don't like Trump. And I'll give you an example of how we can talk about that. There was a guy in this apartment complex that I broke into. I got in there. And I knocked on his door and he was so excited to see me. At this point, we have all of our ads running and I feel like I have a friend at every door, even if they're Republican. They're smiling. They're like, oh, you're Luann. Like, yeah. And so he was very much for women's rights. He said his wife is voting for me. They cared about that. They had a daughter. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. So how are you feeling about the top of the ticket? He goes, I think I'm going to vote for Trump. And I said, oh, well, why is that? And he said, well, costs were definitely down back then. And I look at that and I say, you know, you're right about that. I know the housing costs are up and I know that utilities are up and gas is up. But you told me you care about women's rights. And we all know what Trump did. How are you going to feel if your daughter doesn't get those rights back? And he said, you know, I really haven't thought about that. I said, no, probably not. I said, and what about, would you let your daughter watch him talk? And he says, no, I probably should vote for Kamala. So, you know, and of course, I pointed out that a lot of economic indicators show that we're going in the right direction on the economy. So we talked briefly about that. And that's, you know, the question is, how are you feeling about the top of the ticket and giving people a chance? I shouldn't say people, Democrats got it. Republicans are the ones that are not sure. And I'm so glad. I always compliment them on that. I say, I'm so glad you don't like Trump. Now, what is it about Kamala you don't like, you know? And then I'll get one guy talking about, well, she's for open borders. And I said, no, she's not. Oh, she failed going, you know, her job was to secure the border. And I can easily talk about with someone I got trust with now.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's she was sent down there to prevent people from coming up here, and she successfully did that, raised private dollars to do that. And while she's doing that, Biden was here negotiating a bipartisan bill that Trump killed. And then when they put all the dots together like that, they go, oh, well, maybe, maybe Kamala is going to be okay. One time I said, did you watch the debate? How do you think she did against Trump in the debate? Like, if they don't think she's strong enough, how does she do?
And what's been the common response? I'd really like to know what the Republicans think about their debate performance.
Oh, they most of them think she did good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only a couple of people I've actually used that for. So,
Luann Bird, a Democrat running for Wisconsin's 61st Assembly District. Luann, it's great to catch up with you. It's been a long time coming. We're really looking forward to these next 2 weeks finishing up, and hopefully you will be successful. If people want to find out more about you and your story and your background and the priorities that you would focus on here in the state of Wisconsin, where would they go get that information, Luann?
LuannBird.com, or check out any of my socials, and for sure look up my door stories. Those are really fun. But thank you all. Make sure you vote. Early voting started today.
Early voting started today. Go and vote. Thank you, Luann. Good luck to you. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. We'll come back with some of your calls. 855-752-4842. Thanks, Luann.
Well, the bird is a winner, the bird, the bird is a winner, the bird, 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 the bird
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation. 540 WAUK.
Today's WAUK Big Deal of the Day. 50% savings at Restaurante Casa Noble in Waukesha. Their family is dedicated to bringing you the finest Mexican cuisine. Savor mouthwatering tacos, crispy tostadas, savory enchiladas, and indulgent chimichangas. Join the fiesta today at Restaurante Casa Noble. Go to WAUKradio.com, click on the Big Deals tab, and purchase $20 gift certificates for just $10. Today only at WAUK Big Deals.
Hey there, this is Carrie Joy, and I'm going to use a quote to kick off today's Work Money Minute. Comparison is the thief of joy. That fancy quote comes from everybody's favorite 26th president, Theodore Roosevelt. It calls out one of the most common problems that you and me and everybody we know sometimes has about their money. It is envy. You know, whether it's something you see in real life or something you see as you're scrolling on Facebook or Instagram, envy is really hard to turn off. And you know how when you feel it, it just makes everything else around you seem yuckier? Well, here's what I do. A, I give myself a break. It's normal and human to feel envy. B, I say, Carrie Joy, don't believe the hype. You know real life is more complicated than what you're looking at. And C, I stop scrolling for a little bit. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Comedian, journalist, and fellow Midwesterner Charlie Behrens is bringing a live episode of his Cripescast podcast to the Vivarium on October 29th, presented by 540 WAUK and Civic Media. He'll be joined by Dan Schaefer, Civic Media political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, to talk about why your vote is essential to keep removing this November. Charlie provides the punchlines while Dan breaks down the key ballot issues. Proceeds from the event will benefit the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Tickets on sale now at PabstTheaterGroup.com.
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
I'm just adding to it. They say I'm teenagers suicidal. Come on, do as I do. Go ahead, get mad and do it.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Early voting starts today, 2 weeks from today, and my mailbox will be free. My texts will be empty.
Well,
glorious.
A little bit.
Glorious time. Thank you so much to our most recent guest, Luann Bird, running for Wisconsin's 61st Assembly District. Love me some Luann. She's been around a long time. And really, you know, I had someone say to me the other day, oh, you should run. I'm like, I don't know about that. You should run for something. I don't know about that. And it really, I really appreciate, because I do understand how difficult it is and what it takes to be involved in your community to that degree. You know, talking on the radio is not the same thing as going door to door. It's not the same thing as getting together with your friends and talking about strategy to address, you know, the issues that bother you or some, and address the concerns that your neighbors may have. That's such a different thing. Now, I certainly like to think that we can, you know, get together and hang out here for a couple hours during the day. But that in and of itself is not that kind of community engagement and involvement. And so when you hear candidates like Luann, and she's certainly not alone, there's lots of folks out there that truly believe in the service and the efforts that they're going through for self-governance. And this is something that drives them, that they are passionate about. And so I think that always needs to be celebrated. And people have different political philosophies. I certainly can understand that. But we do need folks out there doing those things. And hopefully we're getting together and having community conversations and about the right things and not the wrong things, like anti-trans LGBTQ issues. Those are the wrong things, in my personal opinion. But, you know, you find your tribe and do your thing. Self-governance is a bitch and it never ends. So thank you, Luann Bird, 855-752-4842. Wisconsin filthy with politicians again.
Oh, yeah, just they're now pouring out of everywhere.
Every pore of Wisconsin. Tim Walz will be in Racine today. I think I erroneously spoke that he was going to be in town yesterday. I will be in Racine, Wisconsin today. He was in Madison, I believe, earlier. Is that where we have the sound from?
I'm not sure.
All right. And we also had heard a little Eminem on the way in, and thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Eminem will be in Detroit tonight introducing former President Barack Obama,
who
will be introducing Kamala Harris. It will be a party in Detroit tonight. Now, my understanding, Eminem will not be performing, but he will be introducing former President Barack Obama. And Eminem, apparently, according to some of the news reports I have seen, will have some comments on the election. And I look forward to hearing what he has to say. As you know, he's not shy in expressing himself.
No, no. Not an adjective I usually attribute to him.
Man. But we do have some Walls sound from Wisconsin today. Let's play a little bit for the fine folks. Early voting starts today in Wisconsin. You heard it from me. Now you're hearing it from Governor Walls. Cut one, please.
This election is 2 weeks from today, and early voting has started here in Wisconsin. Our team is running like everything is on the line, because everything is on the line.
Everything is on the line. Amen, brother. And I will play a little bit more. And I did hear some of his speech, more than what we have for you. And I'll tell you a little about it after the actual cuts. I'll play cut number two from Walls today.
In one moment, that cut decided to not do the thing that I wanted it to.
All right, then. We'll pause on that one. If we have a cut number three, Governor Walls was reflecting on the McDonald's appearance from Trump. What's he has to say about that?
He missed an opportunity, though. Being at McDonald's, he looks much more like Ronald McDonald than the clown that he
is. I mean, if all else fails, maybe he could be the Hamburglar. You know, he'll have the same outfit if, you know, we have any justice in this country. Do we have cut two or not cut two?
I got to know.
All right, let's hear cut two. Trump is apparently very, very exhausted.
He dropped out of three interviews, and his staff, in a moment of clarity and truth, said he was exhausted.
Yeah.
Look, I don't care how exhausted he is, because I can promise you he's not as exhausted as the American people are of him.
Amen. Yeah. Oh, man, I heard it. I was like, yes, brother, that is what I'm talking about. And it is exhaustion. It is. I'm so tired of the vitriol, of the division, of everything that he brings to the table and everything that he highlights, the worst of us.
Truly.
And I mean, in my own humble opinion, folks, you may have yours, but that is mine. And one other thing, it was Walls, I believe it was in Madison today, talked about Elon Musk jumping up and down on a stage and referred to him as looking like a, let's call it,
don't make me hit the dump button,
dip crap.
There we go.
855-752-4842. That's for you, Elon. Hey, Mark from the SAC, we'll squeeze you in. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, and it's amazing to me. Maggie was talking earlier about the Supreme Court and all this. It's amazing to me the sophistry that they engage in there, that they could find that the president is immune to everything, when it clearly says in the Federalist Papers that the president would be subject to punishment and personal punishment and disgrace, and that they certainly don't feel that way about it. And how they cannot find in the Constitution where we have the right to vote, where it says, for example, in the 26th Amendment, the right of citizens of the who are 18 year or years or older to vote shall not be denied or abridged. Well, it says we have the right to vote and it shall not be denied or abridged. So why they can't find that we actually have the right to vote in the Constitution is beyond me.
Yes, you think in a democracy we would, as citizens, have a specific articulated right to vote. I'm with you, Mark. Thank you for your call, 855-752-4842. Coming back with more of your calls. Teenagers knew it's idle. Come on, do as I do. Go ahead, get mad and do it. Just let it go. People say that I'm a bad influence. I say the world's already full. I'm just adding to it. They say I'm sweet. Teenagers knew it's idle. Come on, do as I do. Go ahead, get mad and do it. Just a voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, entertainment reporter Chris Foran. And it's Bob Odenkirk's birthday, so we'll discuss some of his best films and TV shows.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Matt Nair on Air.
Vice President and Director of Marketing for Versity, Gretchen Jameson, is with us.
When you donate blood, there's a couple of different products, if you will, that your blood can produce. There's whole blood. You can do platelets every 2 weeks. You can be a double red, which is what you do.
Yes. For me personally, whatever I can do to maximize my gift, as you say, is worth it.
You can go to Versity.org and take a look at all the different ways to donate and give.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.